This is KBOO Portland. The time now is 8 o'clock. Coming up next is Positively Revolting, where Ani welcomes Portland's resistance Greg McKelvey, who is helping to organize Portland's Mother's Day Bailout, a fundraiser to help free incarcerated black women and mothers. That will be followed at 9 by Pacific Underground, a show for and by Asians and Pacific Islanders in the Northwest. At 10 on Valley View's More Solutions to Housing Challenges in Lynn and Benton Counties, and at 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11 on the Digital Divide, there'll be a debate on net neutrality and the future of the Internet. Thanks, KBOO members, for your support. To keep informed and get involved, go to kboo.fm and click on Donate to become a member. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM, and on the web at kboo.fm.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the 8th Annual Memorial for Keaton Otis on Saturday, May 12th at 6 p.m. at the Augustana Lutheran Church in Portland. Keaton Otis was killed by Portland police on May 12, 2010 after being stopped for failing to signal. Keaton was tased and then shot 23 times in 7 seconds. Every month since his murder, a vigil has been held. This month, there will be artists, community members, and leaders speaking in memorial and about the current state of police reform in Portland. Again, that's the 8th Annual Memorial for Keaton Otis on Saturday, May 12th at 6 p.m. at the Augustana Lutheran Church, 2710 Northeast 14th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certifications requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The events committee meets the third Thursday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
What would you have instead?
This is it.
Comes a time when every second, every day, when every action, every thought will tell the world how you cast your vote.
And you're listening to Positively Revolting on KBOO Portland. This is your community radio station. I'm Ani. And this morning, we are going to be talking about Black Mama's Bailout. This is a day calling attention to the impact of mass incarceration and the impact of the cash bail system on Black women specifically. It's true the cash bail system is a system that disproportionately affects poor people. And this Mother's Day is the second year that activists across the nation have been trying to highlight the impacts that this has on Black women specifically in the justice system. And, you know, I always have the big air quotes when I say justice system, because in fact, justice is not what it's about at all. And that is going to be the topic of the show this morning. We are hoping to have Greg McKelvey in the studio with us, although we understand he is a little delayed this morning. So I want to go ahead and give out our phone number. If you are outraged, as I am, about the mass incarceration system, if you are outraged, as I am, about the disproportionate effect this has on communities of color, if you are outraged, as I am, about the injustice woven through the quote, justice system, especially based on class and race, give us a call. 503-231-8187 is the number to join us this morning. Please do call and let us know your thoughts on this matter that is so very important. It is, I think, another, well, it's just an absolute pure manifestation of the racism, the sexism, and the classism intersecting as we look at the stories of Black women who are incarcerated. If you heard the piece on Democracy Now! Just a moment ago, you understand that so many women are behind bars for, really, I'm going to say ridiculous things. Families are being torn apart for ridiculous things. A taillight out, driving on a suspended license. This is why we rip families apart. That is that in itself is a criminal act. And I'm just going to put it out there. 503-231-8187. What do you think? You know, the cash bail system means that people are in jail right now. Really, thousands of people are in jail right now who have not actually been convicted of any crime, but they're being kept in jail while they await trial, simply because they cannot afford the bail set for them by the judge. Obviously, this disproportionately affects poor people. And then we will see, you know, again, when we look at how race and class intersect, obviously that is affecting communities of color and people in the Black community the most. And so, again, just to encourage you to join in and to be outraged and to be active on this topic, give us a call, 503-231-8187. And good morning to Edie. Whoops. There you were, Edie, and yet no. Call us back. Okay, 503-231-8187. And I'm just going to go ahead and read a little thing here from the ACLU. Here's how prison and jail systems brutalize women, especially mothers. This was put out by the ACLU just about 8 months ago. And it says, considering our nation's merciless criminal justice policies, it comes as no surprise that the U.S. has the largest prison population and the highest incarceration rate in the world. And that has been the case for over 20 years. Just departing from the text here, this is a show that we have revisited on Positively Revolting over the course of our 24-year history. It is time, really, to break those bars and to stop putting people in cages. There's got to be a better way. Oh, yeah, restorative justice programs. We know those better ways. Anyway, I'm going to return to the text here. What you may not know, however, is that women are the fastest growing demographic of the prison population. There are currently 219,000 women, mostly mothers, behind bars in the nation's overlapping criminal justice systems, according to a report released in October of last year by the Prison Policy Institute and the ACLU's Campaign for Smart Justice. To put that in perspective, only 5% of the world's female population lives in the U.S., right? 5% of the world's female population lives in the U.S., yet nearly one-third of all female prisoners in the entire world are in the U.S., right? So go ahead and do the math there. Obviously, we are, again, incarcerating people, jailing people, putting people in cages at an insane rate. And again, this disproportionately affects Black and brown people And we are today looking at the effects this has on families in the Black community and Black moms in particular in advance of Mother's Day this year. So let's go ahead and get Edie back on the line. Good morning, Edie. You're on the air.
Hi. I want us to just speak clearly that this is a matter of kidnapping for ransom, making money off of Black and brown folks with the purpose of genocide, destroying communities. And one way that you can do something about it is to kind of really question, are we going to be buying slaves and buying freedom and rewarding it, or do something different? Interim, people are in prison or in jail and they need to get out. You can go to Healing or Justice as Healing. Andrea James founded that as an attorney who was wrongly set up and put into prison herself, the same place that the Orange is the New Black was filmed.
Edie, I'm going to have you go back for a second and give that name again, Healing Our Justice.
Justice as Healing.
Uh-huh.
And it's about mothers who are imprisoned, usually who are innocent or over real minor things like a police planted them with marijuana or, you know, things that whites are not
generally arrested and jailed for.
Wealthy are not jailed for.
Yeah.
So just see it as it is. It is racketeering to have kidnapping for ransom.
Yeah.
To steal and to destroy communities. And Native Americans are victimized by this at far greater rates than Blacks. And no one should experience this at all under any circumstances, and we must do something urgently now.
Yeah, thank you very much, Edie. I will post a link to the site on the Positively Revolting page on Facebook. Families for Justice as Healing. Thank you for that resource, Edie.
Thanks, Glenn.
Thanks for your work. And let's also 503-231-8187 is the number to call and join us this morning. And we're going to talk to Dave. Good morning, Dave.
Hi, how are you guys doing this morning?
Doing well.
Good. I'm not a woman, but I am African-American. I'm male. And Trump has let white people go around and manage Black bodies.
Mm-hmm.
I've been riding my bike since 2002. And when Glenn Beck popped up in the theater during the showing of Get Smart some years back when Obama was president, they had a faceless Black man ride his bike, and he called him a monkey. And so right after that, I've been assaulted on my bike with cars driven by white people for years. And just the other day, I'm riding my bike in the street, and somebody going the other way in their car yelled at me and said to get off the street. Well, I stopped and stopped traffic and told him, are you my master? What are you doing? F off, you devil. And that's what we have to do. We have to confront this right away. The Black woman said, I don't have to justify my existence to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she was saying.
Mm-hmm.
So white people have to get off of their I wish I was a slave master thing.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your call and sharing your experience this morning. And I got to say, it is actually the job of white people to take other white people to task for abhorrent, antisocial, loathsome behavior, right? It is absolutely racism, and ending racism is white people's responsibility. Just kind of like ending violence against women is men's responsibility, right? This is one of those things. As a white person, as somebody who benefits from the system of systemic oppression that is in place in our country, it is absolutely my obligation to speak out about it and to call it out plainly when I see it, and to work with other people to make and build a more just society and a better place for everyone to be together. And that is something I feel really strongly about, and it's important. Dave, I'm really glad you were safe in that situation. And I want to actually just put out a call to other white people to please make sure that if you are seeing, you know, a person of color standing up for themselves, please stand with them, you know, ask if how you can support, because it is absolutely imperative that that we get the clue and that we work actively together and leverage privilege to make this place better for everyone. I'm going to go ahead and give out our phone number again. That's 503-231-8187. This is KBOO. You are listening to your community radio station. This is Positively Revolting. We are talking about the criminally unjust system of mass incarceration, specifically looking at the campaign that is known as Black Mama's Bailout Day. And we are hoping Greg McKelvey, who is a local activist and organizer with Portland's Resistance, and who has, in fact, been part of the effort to localize Black Mama's Bailout Day here in Portland, to have a local response and a local support for getting Black women out of the jails for Mother's Day. We're hoping he can still join us in the studio this morning, but we're inviting your calls now, 503-231-8187. How do you feel about the criminally unjust system? How do you feel about mass incarceration? How do we end the cash bail system? And what implications does the cash bail system have for poor people, for Black people, for Native Americans, for Latinos? How can we end the atrocities that are going on? So, all of that said, we are going to go ahead and listen to a clip from Khalif Browder. Khalif was in jail for 3 years because he would not take a plea deal and he could not afford the bail. So let's listen to his words when he talks about what the cash bail system has done to him and his life.
On the night of his arrest, Khalif Browder was walking home from a party with his friends in the Bronx when he was stopped by police.
Khalif was charged with a crime, a really petty crime, that it turns out he didn't commit.
Then they said, we're going to take you to the precinct, and most likely we're going to let you go home. And then I never went home.
They told you that you could post bail.
Yes, that's correct.
$10,000.
Yes.
And of course,
I couldn't make that. My family couldn't pay it.
There are thousands of people in jails right this moment that are sitting there for no other reason than because they're too poor to get out.
We have a criminal justice system that treats you better if you're rich and guilty than if you're poor and innocent. Wealth, not culpability, shapes outcomes.
And I think what most Americans think of, because they've watched so many courtroom dramas and things like that, they think that criminal justice system is about judges and juries. Well, that's really stopped being the case.
The system simply cannot exist if everyone decides to go to trial.
Everybody insisted on a trial, the whole system would shut down.
What typically happens is the prosecutor says, you know, you can make a deal and we'll give you 3 years, or you can go to trial and we'll get you 30. So you want to take that chance? Feel free.
Nobody in the hood goes to trial.
97% of those people who were locked up have plea bargain. And that is one of the worst violations of human rights that you can imagine in the United States.
You have in this country people pleading guilty to crimes they didn't commit just because the thought of going to jail for what the mandatory minimums are is so excruciating.
Khalif Browder decided, I'm not going to take the plea.
So you had to choose between being in prison for up to 15 years and going home right then by admitting you did a crime you didn't do.
I felt like I was done wrong. I felt like something needed to be done about this. I felt like something needs to be said. If I just cop out and say that I did it, nothing's going to be done about it. I didn't do it. No justice is served.
What you're not taught is that if you exercise that right to a trial and you are convicted, we will punish you more.
The courts basically punished him for having the audacity to not take a plea deal and to want to take it to trial. And in that time, in those 3 years that he was sitting there and not being charged for anything, that's when the mental health issues started to deteriorate. He started to get into fights.
After a while, I just kept hearing the same thing from the whole 3 years, and I just learned to cope with just being in there, and that was rough. I already knew. After a while, I just gave up hope.
All right, and that was a Democracy Now! Piece about Khalif Browder. And we are now joined in the studio by Greg McKelvey. Thank you very much this morning, Greg, for coming on in.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
And so let's talk specifically around the local effort, Black Mama's Bailout Day,
yes.
Portland.
Uh-huh.
When did the group decide to have a local chapter of Black Mama's Bailout Day?
Sure. So this is something that we had heard about last year. Most people, I think, last year ended up hearing about it very close to actual Mother's Day. And I have the privilege of it slipping my mind until this year. In this year, a black mother who had just moved here from Philadelphia was aware of what they had done in Philadelphia, and I think apparently was also involved in what was happening in Denver, where they did something similar last year, said, "Hey, I realized that this isn't happening here," and this was only about 2 weeks ago. Can we make it happen? And she said, you know, I will do the legwork. I will set up things. I will go look into potential candidates to get bailed out. But I don't necessarily have the platform to raise a large amount of money. Do you know someone who could help with that? And I was like, oh, well, I do. And so we, I met with her and another organizer. And we sort of talked about what we would want this to look like, what it would look like in its best forms, what it would look like if maybe we didn't get the community support that we felt this cause deserved. Fortunately, it ended up being sort of best case scenario so far in the support that we've been able to receive. So that's how it came about.
And how much have you raised so far locally?
So we're at like 21,000. Our goal was 25,000. But we, because of Fundly, the website that we chose to raise from, and the fact that we have to work out sort of some tax liability stuff and how we want this to go forward into Juneteenth and Father's Day and potentially, you know, even to just have it be a running thing, which might mean, I mean, the amount of support we've had might mean that this needs to evolve into like a nonprofit or something like that, to where as soon as someone is arrested and given bail, we can just bail them out, get that money back, use it for the next person, and just keep this running to the point where it wouldn't even make sense for them to be locking people up for low-level crimes and for these bail amounts, because the community is going to have their backs. So the amount of support we've had leads us to think that we can sort of transform money bail in our county. And money bail here works a little differently because of the mandatory minimums that we have, meaning that even for crimes that you could potentially get bailed out for in other county or in other states, here you're with $100,000 bail, and that's not something that we can necessarily do for you.
Right.
And then also our jail space is so crowded that they do let people out on low-level bail. So that leads these bails to be higher, not the $500 that were in Denver.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about the cash bail system, if people don't understand what that means.
Yeah.
Right. And I started off with some information for folks about how many people, like really thousands of people across the country, are sitting in jails, are in cages right now because simply they haven't been convicted of crimes yet. They just don't have the cash to exit the jail while awaiting trial.
Exactly. And people think we have this innocent until proven guilty, but you're in the same place as people who have been proven guilty, and you've only been proven poor. And so we don't have innocent until proven guilty. We have innocent until proven poor. Once you're proven poor, you're basically in the same exact situation as those who have been proven guilty. And the idea, I think, was to be able to let people out if they haven't been convicted, I think, in its original form, and sort of to be a collateral so that we know you're not going to just leave. That makes a lot more sense in the Wild West, where, like, if you leave, we're not going to be able to find you or something like that. Here, you know, when you're not going to have the ability to board a plane or cross a border or something like that, the collateral aspect of it doesn't necessarily make sense, because the power of the state in general is already collateral enough to not flee. And so it just doesn't make sense. And it also leads people to plead guilty. We have far more people pleading guilty because that 60 days or something like that to plea to makes a lot more sense for me when I've already been in jail for 40, like, or 70 even, or even longer. I'm like, oh, just 60 more days, I'll plead guilty. But now I'm in the system, now I'm on probation, now there's 20 cops when they pull me over, you know?
Right.
And it changes everything for you, and it leads for our district attorneys to not have to prove a case.
And again, just reminding people of the case of Kalief Browder and so many others, right? Where the person knows they're innocent. They're being pressured to make a plea deal or to just go ahead and say, yep, totally guilty, because you know that the sentence could be shorter than the amount of time you're going to be spending waiting trial.
Exactly. And people that are free and don't have, and you know, have the privilege of not really even considering that they would be in these circumstances, one, they don't realize how horrible it is to be in jail. But two, they think that I would never plead guilty to something I didn't do. But when the state gives you a chance to be free, you just have to plead guilty. That's a calculation that you might not have ever thought of in your mind. But if you're sitting in a jail cell 24/7, then you're going to consider pleading guilty to get out. And so not only are we a potentially reuniting families, but we're also giving people the ability to maybe not plead guilty and fight their case, especially when they're innocent, or and especially when they know that the state can't prove their case.
Yeah, and I just am reminded once again of the words of my original co-host, Melody Silver Wolf, who passed away a few years back. But she always said, you know, reality is when it happens to you. And a lot of white people have the absolute privilege of not understanding the impacts of having families ripped apart and family members incarcerated, and not fearing that happening to ourselves. And so, again, I think your words really hit home, that if you imagine what it's like to be in a cage 24/7 and suddenly being offered this plea deal, it you know, may seem a lot different under those circumstances. And it does in the abstract, like, oh, over tea. I'm just going to put it out there. 503-231-8187 is the number to call this morning if you want to join our conversation. We're talking about Black Mama's Bailout Day. It is in honor of Mother's Day coming on up. And we are talking with Greg McKelvey here in studio. This is Positively Revolting. You're listening to KBOO, your community radio station. Again, the number to join us is 503-231-8187. And let's go ahead and talk to Sunny. Good morning, Sunny. You're on the air.
Good morning. Good morning. I just want to say some things quickly. And A, please repeat where we can help donate to bring Mom home. And dads, you're also very, very important. Happy Mother's Day to everyone, if possible. And dads, you are so important. B, I'd like to say, isn't this perhaps the sad case of the young man that stayed incarcerated for so long and then eventually he came home and killed himself? Isn't this the case?
With Kalief Browder, yes, I believe that is the
very
case.
Sad.
That is, yeah.
If I recall from the Democracy Now! Report, after he'd gone through so much, when he came home, his family kind of thought he had destabilized, which would be understandable that a person could under those circumstances, because he mentioned that people were talking to him through the TV and et cetera. Well, recently it's come up in tech publications and also on tech programs that the way the TVs are made now, that there aren't protective barriers from intrusion of other signals. I can't explain it. I'm not technical, but Willamette Week also went into this a couple of years ago with the title of an article called They Are Watching You. And I don't know all the components, but it looks like there's a bad cop linkage through the signal system so that you can actually have the screen in front of you shape shift and take on other forms, and it can seem like people are communicating or trying to talk. So what happened to this young man, most probably, is that he went through so much, and then harassment followed him into his home. And it's a frightening thing to think about, but we have to find out about it. And the thing about it is, a person, if they encounter this, they need to remember, if they have this kind of media intrusion into their home, violating all of their privacy, yeah, that they're dealing with cowards who are not at the door.
But, Sunny, I'm gonna ask you to.
I'm making it brief.
Uh-huh.
And so anyway, this prolonged torture that this man went through is just terrible, and I'd like to know, yeah, where I can help donate money to bring a mom home.
Okay, thanks very much, Sunny. And let's get that contact information out for people who are wanting to support the Black Mamas Bailout campaign in Portland.
So if you actually, I mean, the easiest way, because the URL is long and complicated, the easiest way is at this point to just Google Portland Black Mama Bailout. And to also, I will say that because we're already so close to the goal, I mean, today hopefully we'll be bailing people out. We want to keep this going, so and it'll eventually be on a different platform. I don't know what that'll be, but probably not one of these fundraising sites, but more so just like a donation to a nonprofit
but
or something
at the,
like
at
that.
But at the moment, that's at what the you have going
yeah,
on.
At the moment, we have Fundly, but I'm just saying that today is the day that we're going to bail people out, so please pay attention. Like, you're not off the hook because Mother's Day will pass.
Right.
So please, you know, you can follow Portland's Resistance on Facebook or Twitter, and we'll keep everybody updated on that.
Okay. And just for the heck of it, there is a link to the Fundly page.
Perfect.
That I have put on the Positively Revolting Facebook page. You can find, of course, the Positively Revolting Facebook page on Facebook, Positively Revolting. I will put it on our show page.
Beautiful.
As soon as I can, but our website is down at the moment. We've been hacked.
The Russians.
It's cryptocurrency miners. That's a whole nother story.
Oh.
We're not actually going to get into that right now because that'll
Great.
Take a day and a half.
Yeah.
Anyways, can you talk, Greg, for a moment? We want to really focus on the impact that this mass incarceration is having, especially on Black women right now. We talked about some statistics before you were able to join us in that, you know, 5% of the world's population of women are in this country, and yet a third of the incarcerated women in the world are in this country. And then we know that that is far disproportionate in representation for Black and brown women in this country. And so can you talk about the impact that this has on communities?
Absolutely. I mean, you're twice as likely to be locked up as a Black woman as a white woman. And 8 out of 10 Black women who are in jail or prison are mothers. And so and we've seen this on both sides of the family or all sides of the family, where you're removing parents and then you have other people telling these kids to pick themselves up from their bootstraps, but they haven't been given the tools or the skills, the life skills, because they're not being raised by anyone at certain points, or maybe they have negative influence that are raising them. I mean, it doesn't make sense to break up families and then scream about family values and how there might be a lack of family values in the Black community, at the same time removing members of the family from these units. So that impact, and then just the expectations end up being lower. If you spend most of your free time visiting your parents in jail, that becomes normalized to you. And then sort of the self-guilt that comes with it, and the societal sort of stigmatization of prison. I mean, if anybody closes their eyes right now and think, well, don't do it if you're driving, but thanks to the worst thing that they've ever done in their life, right? We're all going to jail. If anybody thinks to the worst thing, but if you white people and people of privilege are more often afforded the ability to then open their eyes and say, yeah, but I'm better than that. And I only did that once, or I learned from that. But certain people don't get to learn from that. And and that's not even to mention the amount of people that are innocent, or at least, and I think it's important, there is a difference between innocent and also the state not being able to prove their case. And there are people that the state could not prove their case, but are still going to be in jail because they took that guilty plea. And those people should potentially be free as well. And also when we're talking about bail, I mean, the judge, a lot of people seem to not understand what bail is. So people are like, why would you want to free a criminal? Well, you need to talk to the judge about that, because the judge has already decided that this person can be in society. It's only money that is keeping them from being in society. So it's not us that have decided that this person can be in. I mean, if they couldn't be in society, there would be no bail. People are also like, why would you want to free a criminal? Well, these people are not convicted, so you can't call them a criminal yet. They're only accused. So
right.
It's funny, the same people that are like super pro-America, this and that, and we're super patriotic, but we actually don't believe in innocent until proven guilty and the things that are supposed to be the ideals that we're supposed to live up to.
Fine point. Fine yeah. point, Greg. 503-231-8187. I want to make another, I want to just sort of mention another fine point. As typed away by our fine board operator, who notes that white-collar criminals are frequently released on their own recognizance. We see that all the time with wealthy folks who might be dinged for something or other in the, you know, maybe some interesting bookkeeping or any of that matter. We'll see folks time and again release on their own recognizance because, well, they have reputations. Obviously, they're not high flight risks. They're respectable individuals who have done something in the white-collar crime, and yet we see people of color, black people, Native American people, Latinos, being held without bail or held on bails they cannot afford for things like taillights being out, for things like a bad check, for things like a minor parole violation. And so again, what system, you know, are we living in, right? And can we get some outrage about the racism and the classism and how they intermix in this system? It is time to bring that down. It is time to change the cash bail system and
yeah.
the mass incarceration system in general. So 503-231-8187, the number to call. We have Matt who will be joining us. Good morning, Matt. You're on the air.
Good morning. God bless what you're doing. There's a lot wrong with the bail system in this country. I'm a criminal defense lawyer 25 years ago, and I got to say, you're painting a pretty inaccurate portrait of a lot of stuff. First of all, nobody can be held without bail on an allegation of a crime. Bail's always got to be set. Secondly, we have a 10% rule in Oregon where you post 10% of the posted bail. So 100,000 is never 100,000, it's 10,000. Second of all, thirdly, there are only mandatory minimums on ballot measure 11 offenses. And Portland's got one of the best pretrial release programs in the country. It's not perfect, but I work with people every day who are trying to look at these issues carefully without bias or racism and make rational determinations. It's not perfect, but to paint it with this wide swath, this brush that you're using that's awfully dark and draconian, it's just not quite accurate. You're getting a lot wrong. So I just want the right information to be given to people, and you're not quite doing it.
Well, I appreciate your call. I want to say,
yeah.
when you're talking about, 100,000 isn't 100,000, it's only 10,000, you understand still, of course, that that's out of the reach of many, many people, right? And especially
right.
communities of color and poor people are going to be affected disproportionately by bail.
I don't disagree with that.
Cool. And I do.
Thank
you very much. I appreciate your call this morning, Matt.
So if we're talking about, okay, there's better people deciding these things on the back end, right? Like, that's not solving the problem that we're still over policing communities of color. So if you're saying at the back end of things, like if I said that I have the best judge in the world who is incredibly fair, it's not going to matter if we're only or if we're mostly or disproportionately putting black and brown people in front of them. So maybe there are great people deciding on who gets pretrial release, but it's not, it's not the end all be all right there. And I was under the impression, I mean, we have measure 11, we have measure 57, and there's one other, I believe. So it's not only measure 11, measure 57 did a lot on the property crime sentencing that we have as well. So it's not just measure 11. Also, some I mean, there's an ability to not get bail.
And I'm going to go ahead and throw that phone number out again, 503-231-8187. The number to call to join in this conversation this morning. I'm talking with Greg McElvey. He is, I mispronounced your last name, I'm so sorry, Greg McElvey. He is part of Portland Resistance and is one of the organizers for Black Mama's Bailout Day Portland. It's part of a national movement and drawing attention to the injustices of the cash bail system in general, and especially looking at the impact it has on Black women, Black moms, and Black families. And so, again, that number to call is 503-231-8187. You can follow along Positively Revolting throughout the week. You can do it on Facebook, where you can find us, Positively Revolting. You can also follow along in the Twitterverse, where you can find us at Positive Revolt. Also want to let you know that coming up at 9 o'clock on KBOO, your community radio station, is Pacific Underground. It's a show for and by Asians and Pacific Islanders in the Northwest. At 10 o'clock on Valley Views, more solutions to housing challenges in Linn and Benton counties. And at 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. 11 o'clock, The Digital Divide, will have a debate on net neutrality and the future of the Internet. We want to thank all KBOO members for your support. Thank you so much for contributing during our most recent spring membership drive and for your support always. To keep informed and get involved, you can go to kboo.fm and click donate to become a member. I hear our site will be back up probably today. There's a great Willamette Week article actually about the hack of our website. And in the meantime, you can still use our phone app. And if you haven't downloaded our phone app yet, you can do that right now. It's a free app. You can stream KBOO, listen to the archives, and contribute all at the same time. So we return our attentions now to the conversation this morning. And looking at, again, the impacts of the incarceration of Black women, especially looking at this movement to bail out Black women for Mother's Day. You're talking about actually turning this into an ongoing campaign. Mm-hmm. We already saw you talking about doing the same thing again, continuing this as we look at Father's Day coming right up. And I want to sort of hear a little bit more about your plans to really look at impacting the cash bail system overall.
Absolutely. So, I mean, if the community, it takes a lot more than $20,000, but, and there's a lot more counties than just Multnomah County that are, you know, around Portland. There's potentially in Washington County, there's a big ability to be bailing out Black fathers who are at bails lower than what's at Multnomah County. And so the idea is if we as a community step up and say, no, we're ending cash bail. We're making it ineffective, and not to where we're posting 10% and then we hopefully get it back or not, but we're posting the bail, the person shows up, we get the bail back, we use it for the next person, and we just keep this ongoing. Then are they going to continue even doing this if they know instantly there's going to be someone at the jail right there to let these people out? So we can effectively end this system if the community is outraged enough. And so, you know, and then hopefully we just – they realize that it's not being effective what they're doing, and then we can just move away from the need to have to do this at all.
Right on. And how, you know, in getting people together, if people are listening to the show and are being outraged, who should they reach out to? Who would you, in coalescing the energy that is being harnessed in this campaign?
Absolutely. Well, so, you know, this is one of the things that we're doing at Portland Resistance. We're spending a lot of time on the election happening on May 15th as well. But there are great organizations that do a lot of this stuff. So a new one that's popped up is the Care Not Cops, where they're focused on services for mental health and such instead of more cops. The Oregon Justice Resource Center does great stuff on this. And there's you know, other organizations that are working solely on criminal justice reform. And so there's a lot of ways to get involved. You know, it's almost sad that we have to like wait for a Mother's Day or a Father's Day to get people to be to feel sympathetic to this cause, because there's a lot of months in between when Father's Day happens and then when the next Mother's Day happens, and there's a lot of moments where people could be reunited with their families. So we shouldn't have to coalesce around a holiday. This should just be a thing that you know, our progressive community that sort of has these ideals that we like to believe that we live up to. I mean, this is an opportunity where we can actually do it as a community.
And yeah, I think that that's, you know, so often things can take on the appearance of like, oh, well, that was a one day action, right? You know, mm-hmm. But what you're talking about is using the energy of the symbolic action of freeing moms before Mom's Day.
Yeah.
And it's symbolic and it's also very real. I mean, yeah. You know, families get to be reunited.
Mm-hmm.
But you're talking about using that energy to actually start something that's far more reaching. And I think that that's smart. But it's important, again, for listeners to understand the momentum has to be kept up. And
absolutely.
And again, the community is part of that solution.
And that's something that I think at Portland's Resistance we've been trying to do for a long time. I mean, we tried to harness the anti-Trump energy and then say, well, hey, let's also look here. So we can only vote, you know, however many years. We can be super mad about Donald Trump throughout. We could tweet about it. We could Facebook about it. But there are things you can do right now that impact the things that Donald Trump is trying to do. If you care about deportation, people are still being deported out of Portland. If you care about deportations, then we need to stop policing low-level offenses and end broken windows policing, because that's how you get deported, is you get thrown in the criminal justice system. And then it doesn't matter if we're a sanctuary city. They can do a raid and go find you because you're deemed a criminal. So as long as we're policing low-level offenses and disproportionately locking up people of color, we're not a sanctuary city. So there are things to look in. I mean, if Donald Trump was the mayor of Portland, would we be policing protests any differently? I mean, if you really dislike Donald Trump, you don't have to wait until the presidential election and tweet about Donald Trump. You can do things here in your own community. So it's all about harnessing that momentum that is just, you know, it's just natural, and to keep it going and look inward and sort of isolate ourselves from the rhetoric and the policies of the Trump administration.
It's true. I mean, I think that you can only get so far on outrage. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, I am outraged every day,
mm-hmm.
about the world we live in. And yet you got to take that and you got to do something with,
yeah.
it, right, to try to build a better place.
Yeah.
Talk about the work of Portland Resistance for a while.
So we're currently, I mean, we've drafted a criminal justice policy, a healthcare policy. I think next will be a climate change policy. You know, we reformed after the election. We did forums for all of debates, really, for all of these city council races, as well as the county commissioner race and the state senate race, where we got to ask questions that, you know, maybe aren't going to be asked in normal places. We even did a forum for the school board race in 2016, I believe. And so, you know, we're endorsing candidates and knocking doors now. We have an event on Saturday in support of Joanne Hardesty and Casey Jama. We're going to go knock doors, but it's the thing I like about it is, like, you can show up to a meeting and be like, I really care about this, and we'll think about it, and then we'll go, okay, let's work on it. Like, and our meetings are open, and it's just like, you know, it's ever evolving, and we have the ability to work on so many different things because there's so many great people involved. And so I'm really proud of what it's sort of blossomed into, but the only thing that usually makes the news is the protests, but we're working every single day. I mean, we just did a event for Stephon Clark when he was killed in California. We did an event for John Elifritz, and basically to say that, you know, shooting people in homeless shelters is not okay. And at that event, we raised, you know, upwards of 60 coats. And it's easier to raise coats when the weather's starting to get nice, but it's still cold at night and it's still going to be cold in a few months. And so it's easier to raise coats now because everybody's like, I don't need this. But so we do a lot of great work constantly, trying to engage our houseless community. We're still have meetings at City Hall and such about broken windows policing. So it's a lot.
All right. We have a couple people joining us on the phone. Good morning, Reggae Bob.
Good morning, Ani.
Good morning.
And John, good morning, good morning.
I think it's Greg.
Greg.
Greg. And once again, your show is positively revolting, and that's fantastic.
Thank you, Reggae Bob.
Yes. This Greg, are you new in Portland? You sound wonderful, man. You're outstanding. Are you new in town?
No, I'm born, raised, and bred.
There you go, man. That's what we're talking about. When people say things about Portland and we're not doing nothing and this and that, you're outstanding. I had not heard of Black Mama Bailout. Ani, you didn't tell me, but I'm going
to know. We have so much to talk about, Reggae Bob. It's hard to get everything in.
We always do it. And I'm going to let a lot of people know about this program. I'm going to repost it. And outstanding work. We'll see y'all soon. Big up yourselves.
Thanks, Reggae Bob.
Thank you so much.
And let's go ahead and talk to Kristen. Good morning, Kristen. You're on the air.
Good morning. I just want to say thanks to Gregory for bringing this campaign to Portland. I think we heard this morning on Democracy Now! That it's in 20 states.
Wow.
Yes.
Unbelievable. Yeah. But I want us to, I wanted also to draw attention to the states, including our neighbors across the river in Washington, where it's not very often we get to say that Oregon's actually doing better than other states on some things, but if you end up in jail in, say, Clark County, you have to put up that 10%, 8 if you're lucky, and you're not getting any of it back.
Mm-hmm.
The bail bondsman gets to keep that entire percentage. So, you know, the way that you're going to be able to roll over the bail fund and receive most of it back minus fees here in Multnomah and Washington County, the folks doing this kind of work in Washington State and others, they've got a 10 times harder job because all of that money is gone.
Wow.
And where to, you know, the bail bondsman industry, what a wonderful thing. So,
right.
Absolutely.
Let's start by tearing it down here in places like Oregon so we can really, really go for the difficult states or the ones that keep the whole 10%.
Mm-hmm. That is absolutely correct. And
Thanks, Kristen.
Our organizers spent time actually in the Clark County Jail yesterday looking for people to potentially bail out. And I think we will have a presence in the Clark County Jail. But, yes, it is an entirely different animal there. But, you know, it's too far from Seattle for that movement to be doing it there. So I think that we are probably going to have to pick up the slack there. And, yes, it is different. All of these counties are in different in different ways, especially once you cross state lines, and it just goes to show, I mean, you drive 2 miles in one direction and you're in a completely different type of system, and it's just people don't think about it like that.
Right, for sure. And yeah, so state by state it's different, county by county it's different.
Mm-hmm.
Important to note. And I thank Kristen for calling with that information. We have a couple minutes left. I'm going to give out that number one more time if you would like to join us. It's 503-231-8187. We are nearly out of time, so if you do have a question or comment, please call right now. That's 503-231-8187. Greg, it looked like you had a little
and
bit more to add there.
We lost it.
Okay. That'll happen sometimes. And so, you know, this is a movement that started last year trying to draw attention and picking up
Oh, I got it. Can I just...
Sure, absolutely.
Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
It's just that this idea that... you know, Multnomah County has like this great way of letting people out pre-trial release. Like, they don't want to have to do that. The reason we have to do that is because our jails are full.
Right.
And so had we had a way, you know, twice as big jail, we wouldn't be still have the same amount of people incarcerated. If we had bigger jails, they would be full. And so when we have counties continuously voting for more jail beds, that's not because we're getting worse and worse and worse. That's because they want to continue to keep these people locked up. Had we had a bigger jail, we wouldn't have these awesome people, as one of the callers was basically saying, that are focused on pretrial release and such, at least to the extent that they are now. We would still have more people in jail.
Well, I want to point out that so many times I've heard some counties wanting jails because it's a jobs program.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. So I want to say jails are not appropriate
as
a jobs program. If your county is suffering economically, you know, building a jail so that other folks get locked up and put in it, because if you build them, they will fill.
Mm-hmm.
This is an economic plan that enforces and ensures continued oppressions, economic oppression, racial oppression. It is just it's a bad system.
And
right?
You're removing far more people from the economy than you're potentially employing.
Absolutely. And we can talk again for days about the school to prison pipelines. We can talk for days about the insanity of the mass incarceration system. And we just really need to, again, I applaud your efforts to localize the attention of what's happening in our communities, in Portland, and how people can be a part of this growing movement that started just last year with Black Mamas Bailout Day, to grow that into more and more cities, as Democracy Now! Was saying this morning, this year in 20 cities, you know, and as you've been talking about, to not just wait for next Mother's Day, but to actually keep this momentum going into a growing movement now.
Absolutely. And that's what it's going to take. And if you're sitting in jail, you Mother's Day, you know, you want all those days, not just Mother's Day.
Right?
So hopefully, you know, we don't have to coalesce around holidays, and we can instead coalesce around the human lives that are being impacted by this unfair system.
Absolutely. Well, we are very nearly out of time, so I want to just give you the last couple of minutes to let folks know how they can, A, support Black Mamas Bailout Day, but also how they can get involved in Portland Resistance or other community groups doing good things.
Absolutely. So I do want to say that, you know, we are doing a lot of work in trying to find people to bail out. But if you know somebody who is in jail right now, especially a Black mother who is in jail right now, that you specifically want to get bailed out, you know, that where we don't have to be at the jail contacting their lawyers, but you are a family member and you're like, wow, my mom should be bailed out, please contact us like ASAP, like now. And so you can do that, communications@pdxresistance.org, or I'm greg@pdxresistance.org for the email. And if you want to get involved in general, please like our Facebook page, which is just Portland's Resistance. There's an apostrophe before the S. And we're PDX_resistance on Twitter. And our website is www.pdxresistance.org. So all those ways are ways to get in contact with us, in touch with us. Our meetings are every Sunday from 12 to 2. If you want to start organizing with us, you come to 3 out of 5 meetings. You're then a voting member. And so, yeah, you can follow me, Gregory McKelvey, on Twitter. But like I said, there are a lot of different organizations. So if this is something you're passionate about, don't just be passionate about it for Mother's Day. Be passionate about it throughout. And if this is your soul, like this is what you care about the most, there are organizations that are only specifically focused on this. And one that I would recommend is the Oregon Justice Resource Center, or supporting Care Not Cops, which is doing great work around policing in our city.
All right. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us this morning on Positively Revolting. Thank you, listeners, for your insight, comments, and questions. And I will be back with you on June 8th. For the next 3 weeks, Linda Olson Osterlin will be bringing you information, commentary, and guests here on Positively Revolting. We thank Linda for answering the call. And I'll see you, June 8th. Take care. Be positively revolting.
Bye.
This is KBOO Portland. Coming up next is Beloved Community with John Chuck. At 10, we'll have Valley Views, more solutions to housing challenges in Lynn and Benton County. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, on the Digital Divide, there'll be a debate on net neutrality and the future of the Internet. Thanks, KBOO members, for your support. To keep informed and get involved, go to kboo.fm and click on Donate to become a member.
Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Feria de Portland 2018 on Saturday, May 12th from 5 to 10 p.m. at Audio Cinema in Portland. The third annual Feria de Portland is a celebration of the Northwest flamenco community and the culture of Andalusia, featuring local Spanish food vendors,